long wait for the NBA returns tonight. They've had some exhibition games. What do you make of this eight-game tournament from the players you talked to? Excited to be playing? Is there a little bit of, geez, like this could have been four games or, you know, something? Because it seems like it's more just, you know, trying to get TV money than anything else, which I kind of understand.
I would have to assume that that's probably the biggest reason, money. And I mean, obviously for the NBA, a big part of the reason why they expanded this restart to 22 teams was to get Zion in the bubble. I'm sure they were pretty nervous when he had to leave the bubble, and there was some question as to whether or not he would even be back for opening night. Now he is. He practiced with New Orleans yesterday. He'll play tonight, and that's good news for the NBA because a lot of people want to watch Zion. He's one of the brightest young stars in the NBA, just on the cusp of the playoff picture now, and I think that's probably what you're looking forward to from the standpoint of this next few week period here, the regular season games, the seeding games, is seeing, especially in this race in the Western Conference, if there's a play-in game, who squeezes in. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, you're right, it's a money thing. Will it actually impact the end result? Probably not. Whoever squeezes in the West, whether it's New Orleans, Portland, Memphis, these are good teams, but they're not upsetting the Lakers. And then if there's a play-in game in the East, I mean, man, that could be ugly between Washington and whatever is left of the Brooklyn Nets. In terms of how players feel about it, like, I imagine they'd be pretty happy about it right now because, of course, guys aren't in game shape. They're not in peak conditioning even after three scrimmage games. So this gives them a chance to ease back in a little bit, especially for a team like the Raptors that don't have a ton to play for in terms of seeding. They have this opportunity to kind of ease back in and prepare for the playoff to make sure that they are at their best come August 17th. But with that said, that's probably how they feel today. Let's ask them in 2 weeks from now when they're probably itching for the playoffs to get started. I mean, this past weekend was a good example of that. I think they were pretty happy to be out there playing scrimmages on Friday and on Sunday, the two games that they won. And by Tuesday, the game that they lost, the game where they seemed mostly disinterested, I mean, the Raptors seemed bored. They wanted to get things going here for real, and then I'm sure after four or five of these games, they'll be ready to get things going for real, for the playoffs. But I think it'll be nice, at least for these next few games, to, I mean, to see basketball back again, regardless of what's at stake. I'm looking forward to watching tonight. I mean, I was looking forward to even watching the games that didn't count.
Well, why not? Now, let's talk about the Raptors. The one player that people seem pretty excited about is OG Anunoby, and he looks, you know, he looks better, but you know, it's not real games. What do you make of Anunoby? Could he possibly maybe be a little bit of a wild card for the Raptors heading into this return to play?
I think offensively he's a wild card because we still don't really know what to make of this expanded repertoire that we did see glimpses of over this last week in these scrimmage games. Now, to be fair, he was showing some significant improvement in that regard even before the hiatus. He was playing his best basketball ever between the All-Star break and March when the pandemic hit. Had a 32-point breakout against Denver just 10 days before the season came to a halt. I think it's sort of a natural evolution of a guy like OG Anunoby because you look at the skill set and he's got all the tools. I mean, he's big enough, he's quick enough, he's athletic enough to be able to put the ball on the floor and beat guys off the dribble. There were things early in his career. I mean, first of all, I just think his role was limited in his first couple of years. They weren't asking a whole lot from him offensively. They were asking for him to essentially spot up in the corner, wait for the ball. I mean, Lowry and DeRozan drew a lot of attention last year. Lowry, Siakam, and Kawhi drew a lot of attention. Wait for the ball, hit the open shot, and that was basically it. Whenever he did put the ball on the floor, it was a little awkward. His handle wasn't reliable, and his balance was sort of all over the place. He'd always be falling over. But he's a hard worker, and he's still young. He's 23 years old. So he's talked about putting in the time, not only watching film, but also on the court, tightening his handle a little bit, working on his footwork and his balance, staying low to the ground. So I do think it's for real. I think it's just a question of how much you're leaning on it. If you're Nick Nurse, are you running plays through him? Are you calling plays for him in big moments? But it is sort of a scary thing when you think of his upside and his ceiling and just how good he can be, because we haven't even mentioned defense yet. And defensively, OG Anunoby has elite upside, and I already think he's getting close to it. He is one of the best one-on-one perimeter defenders in the NBA right now, probably the most underrated perimeter defender in the NBA right now. He's a good three-point shooter, so if he can take that next step as a playmaker, as a creator, as a guy that you can trust to call play for him, put the ball on his hands, all of a sudden, yeah, I mean, not only are we talking about an X factor and a wild card and the guy that could be a difference maker for the Raptors, we could be talking about a future star for the Raptors if he can do all of those things.
Josh Lundberg joins us, TSN Raptors reporter. Josh, what do you make of their schedule? You know, they play the Lakers on Saturday. That'll be their first game. It'll be the Lakers' second, who they're playing tonight. Then they've got the Heat and the Magic and then the Celtics and the Grizzlies and the Bucks. Those are kind of their first six games. What do you make of this schedule? Anything that stands out? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? Does it really matter, do you think?
Well, it's a really tough schedule. In terms of whether or not it matters, I guess it depends on how much you want that second seed. I mean, the Raptors are not going to catch Milwaukee for first. That's why I say they don't have a ton at stake seeding-wise. They're three games ahead of Boston, which is a pretty significant cushion for an eight-game regular season.
Totally.
The caveat, of course, is that the Raptors play Boston on August 7th, so that'll be determine the tiebreaker and could ultimately determine who comes in second. But there's no home court advantage anymore. That doesn't exist in the bubble. And even the matchup, I mean, we're going to assume here that Brooklyn falls to eighth or maybe ninth because of the guys that have opted out for them and the guys that are hurt for them. Orlando probably climbs to seventh. Indiana probably falls to sixth. They're banged up. I'm not sure that there's a huge difference between Indiana and Orlando, I should say. So I think from that standpoint, if you're Nick Nurse, you use these eight games primarily to ease guys back in and make sure the conditioning is there. And most of all, make sure guys are healthy for August 17th, because this right now is probably the healthiest they've been since way back in October. Nurse talking yesterday saying we haven't seen them at their ceiling yet, which is probably true because they haven't been healthy, but they're not hitting that ceiling if they're not healthy. So that's a top priority more than anything else. I think the difficult schedule is good in the sense that it gives you a good opportunity to see some teams you might be playing in the playoffs and maybe to prepare for what you're going to see in the playoffs. But it's also so hard to determine, like, I mean, you mentioned the game against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a really good team, so theoretically that should be a tough game, but Milwaukee's got nothing to play for, so that might not be such a tough game. What really is the difference between the Raptors' schedule and the Celtics' schedule right now is the Celtics have a game against Brooklyn and a game against Washington, and those are probably the two worst teams in the bubble. Nobody has an easy schedule because they've eliminated the bottom eight teams in the NBA. It's only the top 22. So you're not going to face Detroit and Atlanta and those teams. But I would say anybody that's got Brooklyn or Washington on their schedule has a bit of advantage here going into the restart.
Josh Lundberg joins us. Josh, you look at teams missing players, guys opting out and everything like that. So, you know, then you get maybe even to rest, right? You look at LeBron James as being to, what, eight of the last nine finals, I think it was, up until last year. Now he gets another big rest. The Lakers and the Clippers, maybe even the Denver Nuggets, you know, in the West, but you still got the Rockets. There's a lot of good teams in the West. And then the Bucks and the Raptors and maybe the Celtics crawl in. Like, the Raptors right now, Josh, it seems, you know, they play up to their potential. You know, at very worst, they should be in the conference final against the Bucks.
Yeah, and I think they feel confident even once they get there, if they get there, just based on their history with the Bucks. I mean, they're a team, I think it's as business as usual for them. They're being counted out more or less. Like, you don't hear them being brought up in terms of the true elite contenders in the NBA, the championship contenders with Milwaukee and the Clippers and the Lakers. And you know what? That's probably fair, I would say, because like if I had to break it down team by team, I'd probably put them in the second tier in terms of championship contenders right now. But they don't care about what I think or what anybody else thinks, and that's what makes them so good, because when people were picking them to miss the playoffs outright before the season, I mean, Fred VanVleet was talking about that the other day, they just sort of laughed at it. It wasn't even this is a chip on our shoulder, we've got something to prove sort of thing anymore. They're used to that. They're over that. It's now just kind of a thing they look at and they shrug at, and they know who they are. They know what they're capable of. And it's going to be interesting because – generally speaking, the teams that compete for championships every year are the ones that have at least one superstar, at least one top five, top 10 caliber NBA player. And most recently, over the last 10, 20 years, it's been that you need two or three of those guys, and the Raptors don't really have any. I mean, maybe Pascal Siakam grows into that guy. We talked about OG Anunoby. Like, if we're talking 4 or 5 years down the road, yeah, maybe they sign Giannis. Right now, they're a team that's built on depth. They're built on balance in terms of the way their offense is structured. They move the ball. They're really well coached, and they've got the second best defense in the NBA. That's resulted in a really good regular season. I imagine once these 8 games are done, we talk about, I mean, maybe it's a 50-win season, even an abbreviated season. The question is whether or not it translates to the playoffs, where Kawhi really put them on his shoulders last year. Can Pascal Siakam be the lead guy with all the defensive attention that he's going to face in the playoffs? Does depth do you as good in the playoffs as it did during a long and grueling regular season where they had all these injuries? Can Nick Nurse work his magic again and pull out the box in one and all these different tricks to throw teams off? I think that's what's going to be really interesting in terms of seeing how far they can go and how good they can be.
Who do you like best in the West?
That's a really good question. I think the Lakers, I would say, have the best 1-2 punch in the NBA when they're healthy, LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But it sort of ties into the conversation we were just having with the Raptors, where how much does depth matter in the playoffs? Because the Clippers, while they also have a really good 1-2 in Kawhi and Paul George, probably a hair below LeBron and Anthony Davis, they've also got far more depth than the Lakers. They've got two of the best reserves in the NBA in Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. They've got depth at just about every position. They've got size. They've got versatility. So I think I like the Clippers a little bit better than the Lakers. But again, I guess it just depends on, one, how healthy, how motivated LeBron is, and how much depth ends up playing a part in this thing. When we talk about wild cards, the ultimate wild card in this abbreviated restart season is the virus. And right now, the NBA has done a really good job in terms of putting together this bubble, and it's held so far. But we don't know how this thing is going to play out, not just in terms of virus and whether or not guys test positive. And, of course, that would throw everything off if an elite player tests positive at the wrong time, but also injuries. I mean, guys are coming back after a really long layoff. It's not like a normal offseason where they're in the gym and they're working out for months. Guys really couldn't do much of anything, and games are tightened now. You don't have 2 days off in between playoff games. You're playing every other day. They'll be back-to-backs during the regular season. So depth might be a bigger factor than it would be during a normal playoff, during a normal year, in which case, bump the Raptors up a little bit, and I would say bump the Clippers up over the Lakers if depth ends up being a factor, if guys are getting hurt.
Josh, should be fun. We got the NBA returning tonight for games that count in the standings. And then, of course, on Saturday, the NHL returns for playoffs. It's going to be a fantastic next few months. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Can't wait. Take care, Gregor.